From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Noe Valley, San Francisco.
DuBose Triangle, Lower Haven.
Visitation Valley.
Downtown San Francisco.
Oh, Ingleside, SF.
Coming up, we'll hear about the aftermath of the Valley Fire in Lake County and why it was so destructive.
It's just tragic. There's just so many places where there were homes and now there's nothing left but a fireplace, a washer, a dryer.
Then composer and activist Marcus Shelby talks about his newest work, Beyond the Blues, a prison oratorio.
Some of these kids have just been caught up in this system that has trapped them. The school-to-prison pipeline is vicious.
And we'll find out the answer to this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
This time it's love, my wish.
That's today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. The Valley Fire in Lake County is one for the record books. There have been larger fires, like the Rough Fire currently burning in Fresno County. But the Valley Fire has destroyed nearly 2,000 structures. That ranks it third most damaging in state history. At least four people have died in the 76,000-acre blaze. KALW's Jeremy Dalmas joined residents of Middletown in Lake County as they started going back to their homes, or what's left of them.
I find David Ross parked on the side of the road with his family just off the 29, outside of Middletown. He's trying to get farther up the highway to the home he's lived in for 15 years.
I live on Cobb.
Is your house still there?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Yeah. Okay. We're just trying to get back to find out.
The road is closed. They're letting some residents through, but the highway patrol won't let Ross and his family pass.
We were catering a wedding in St. Helena.
Oh, okay.
Saturday night. Me and my wife, okay. So we weren't even there.
So you haven't even, you left for the job and haven't been?
Yep. Yeah, my 15-year-old son.
Okay.
He was home alone.
Yeah.
And he was, I'm not leaving without the dogs. And then he just packed up the dogs and drove down the hill.
I expected it to smell like smoke, but instead it smells like burning clutch. Either from the stream of residents driving their trucks up the hill, or the Caltrans vehicles headed back down.
Can you brief Harvey on that latest information about the shelter and the pink cars?
Up 100 feet at the roadblock is Lieutenant Kelly Cardoza from the California Highway Patrol. She has seen the devastation.
There's just so many places where there were homes and now there's nothing left but a fireplace, a washer, a dryer.
The Valley Fire, which started in the afternoon on September 12th, has burned over 75,000 acres and destroyed well over 1,000 homes. Part of Cardoza's job is to direct evacuees to services.
At the Calistoga Fairgrounds, they have everything set up there. I don't know if you've been there yet, for residents who have been displaced.
Driving into Calistoga, 15 miles from Middletown, things actually look pretty normal.
Okay, so I just pulled into Calistoga city limits. No sign of the fire here at all.
Until I get into the fairgrounds, which have been converted by the Red Cross into a shelter for evacuees.
Are you still missing some pets?
No, actually.
This is one of the spots for people who can't go home, either because their home isn't safe to go back to or because it's gone. There are cots to sleep on, meals, medical care, toys for kids, showers, and places to set up tents. Bill Tullman's family doesn't need to sleep outside, though. He's standing by his trailer in the RV parking section of the fairgrounds.
My daughter came home from soccer and said, she's crying, hysterically crying, and said, Dad, there's flames all over the place.
They're from Hidden Valley, a gated community just north of Middletown.
My wife went and got her her dad, who lives about a mile and a half from us. We loaded up in the trailer and we headed out of town. It was very smoky. It was very dark. It was like nighttime.
Tolman has heard that his home survived the fire, but his wife's dad lost his house. Luckily, they've already found a spot for him at a local retirement home for veterans. Tolman's family has been here a long time.
I've lived in Middletown all my life, 53 years, so
oh, wow.
I think it'll be very emotional going through town and seeing the devastation.
Yeah. Evan Sandler's also a longtime resident.
It's pretty sad how much I've lost, how much we've lost as a community. It was a pretty incredible, creative, wonderful space we created.
He worked at Harbin Hot Springs, which was a popular New Age retreat center in Lake County.
23 years I worked at Harbin, and I lived at Harbin much of that time.
He lives up the road now, though. Sandler was evacuated 3 times this summer for wildfires. There are dozens of them in the county every year, most of them under 10 acres. They're a part of life here. So when the Valley Fire started, Sandler never thought it would be so destructive. But after he was evacuated from his home...
Yeah, it was so fast, it's beyond imagination. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's in the wrong place. What's the Cobb Fire doing way over here?
He wanted to get some things out of his workshop at Harbin before the entire area was off limits. So he convinced his friend at the roadblock to let him in.
She said, you better not make a single mistake. You better do everything right.
He went in and got his computer, his guitar, and some paperwork. He thinks he was likely the last person out of Harbin before it burnt down. As he raced away, he was driving right down the line of the fire.
Then I drove, and the whole left side of the road was like one gigantic flame. I got to ride a wave of a firestorm.
Other evacuees didn't make it out by car. One man I talked with said he ran the 10 miles from Hidden Valley all the way to Clear Lake. It took him 3 hours. By afternoon, the evacuee camp is scorching. You can hear the sound of generators and truck motors everywhere. It's well into the 90s, and there are announcements on megaphones telling people to give their pets water. I find Jim Westridge walking his 2 little dogs.
Oh, this is Ruby and this is Peanut.
He has his motorhome to stay in, but he's facing a lot of loss.
Live in Middletown and my house is all gone. I lost my wife about 5 months ago, so it's a whole new life.
They'd been married 51 years. He points to the dogs.
Yeah, they're a little dismayed. They couldn't figure out losing their mama about 5 months ago. And then now they're going to lose their house. But we'll make it. We'll make it.
He was able to get just a few things from his house before he left.
I got pictures of my wife, my wife who died. 4 pictures there, extra pair of Levi's. Extra shirt, three pairs of underwear, and 3 pairs of socks, and that's what I own right now.
Westridge's plan is to rebuild his house.
I've got all the grandkids coming up. I've got carpenters and plumbers and mechanics, so they'll do it all. So I'm one of the lucky ones, really. So
every evacuee I talk with said that Lake County would rebuild, and it will. But there are some things that will never come back.
My wife was a writer. All her life she kept journals and wrote poetry and fiction, a lot of it published. It's all gone. I don't have a single poem of hers, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them are gone. And they're gone.
Yeah.
So that's what hurts. That hurts. Yeah.
In Calistoga, I'm Jeremy Dalmas for Cross Currents.
I want to go home, I ain't got sufficient. Oh, don't go, my bed, let's go.
If you care to make a donation to those affected by the fire, we have the information online. Go to KELW.org, click on Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now we're going to hear from one Bay Area local addressing injustice through art. San Francisco-based Marcus Shelby holds many titles. He's a composer, a bassist, an educator, just to name a few. His latest composition, Beyond the Blues, a prison oratorio, is about the persistence of the prison industrial complex. KALW's Jen Chien spoke with Marcus Shelby about how he uses the blues as both a form and a concept.
The thing about the blues is this really interesting way of combining tragedy and triumph. It's combining something that looks completely horrible and ugly, but finding this sort of fluid and sparkling optimism or hope.
And beauty.
Or beauty. Mm. It's kind of equivalent to the Greek tragedy. You know, you have the two masks, the happy mask, which is triumph, and the sad mask, which is tragedy. The blues is America's sort of form of that. And that's why many blues songs, maybe like Bessie Smith might sing about a horrible flood, backwater blues. But when you listen to the music, there's this sort of upbeat and sparkling optimism about it that is occurring through not only the piano playing, but Bessie Smith's, the way that she sings.
Then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night.
The inflections and the blues shouting and the way that she phrases.
I woke up this morning, can't even get out of myself.
It makes you forget about that flood and think about what you're going to do once the flood's over.
Can't even get out of myself.
And so, if I was to kind of tie those songs back to the oratorio that we're going to perform and that I'm creating, it's really kind of investigating songs like that throughout history that have been about the prison experience. And
you've been researching that kind of genre of music.
Researching that genre of music, but also researching the social, political elements of that music that impacted the communities at the time. So it wasn't just entertainment, but it was actually used as a life force, particularly for Black women, for self-expression in the 20s. And so that's one part of it. The other one was the prison experience was a big part of the civil rights movement. Many young people were jailed for conducting sit-ins or marching or protesting. Or just being Black, you know, they were being jailed. And so once incarcerated, these young people sang songs, and these songs helped them to keep their sanity, maintain their spirit, and also to get messages and the plan strategy and to put a face on the enemy. Old Pritchett, Old Kelly is one of those songs. And that's really about the police commissioner and the mayor of a Georgia town that was orchestrated this massive incarceration of young people.
You're folding some of these songs actually into your composition for the prison oratorio.
Oh, yeah. So it's a historical viewpoint. And then some of the other pieces dealt. There's a song that I rearranged, a song by Charles Mingus called Remember Rockefeller at Attica, which was about the prison riot. I believe it was 1973. And this was a horrible incident. I think nine people were killed during this. It was completely handled incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And the result after that, we saw just an increase of these tough on crime laws. Mm-hmm. Tough on
crime. Supermax prisons.
Supermax prisons. Private prisons came later. California, we had our three strikes law. This has done horrible damage to the potential and worth of many people, and particularly young people, and particularly nonviolent drug offenders who have seen their entire lives behind bars. And so Charles Mingus addressed this incident in 1973. This is one of our pieces that I rearranged. And then some of the music is also original.
And I'm speaking with Marcus Shelby, band leader, bassist, and composer from San Francisco. The youth in the Juvenile Justice Center, you've mm-hmm. been going in regularly every mm-hmm. month. I'm wondering what have you been learning as you've been going in there with them?
Well, the first thing I learned is that they're not that much different than me, than young people who never find themselves in that situation. Some of these kids have just been caught up in this system that has trapped them. The school-to-prison pipeline is vicious, you know? And so what I'm seeing is that these young people, in some cases, have been caught in that system, in that trap, particularly if they're in a traumatized environment. So combating that trauma with positive activities, sports, music, and then tying that to something, you know, really soulful, like the ancestors that came before them that did really noble things. So when I go to this juvenile hall, you know, it's 99% Black and Latino, maybe one white kid, but mostly Black and Latino. But when I go in there, I talk about people like Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Tupac Shakur, people who they identify with in some cases, but also people who have used their prison experience, like Malcolm X, and then Dr. Martin Luther King when he was in Birmingham, to do some really profound things, educate themselves, write, and to, in some cases, reevaluate what they're doing in life.
And do you talk to them about the blues also?
Oh, absolutely. So one big figure is Louis Armstrong, who discovered the trumpet while he was in juvenile hall, the Color Waves home, when he was 12 years old.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. You know, and so in many cases, I connect these young people to Louis Armstrong, and said Louis Armstrong was sitting where you were when he was your age. He was 12 years old. And he was there until he was 14 in Louisiana, in New Orleans. And it was there that he first started playing the drums, and then he was given a cornet. And he fell in love with it, and he found his possibilities through art and music through that instrument. And he's gone on to become our most influential musician and singer.
I'll be carried to the new jail tomorrow, leaving my poor darling alone with the cold prison bars all around me and my head on a pillow of stone. Robert.
I'm not a psychiatrist or a therapist, or a counselor. So I just really try to listen to them and treat them with the type of dignity and respect that we all want to, and to really listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do their poems or their rap, you know, sometimes it's violent, sometimes it's really graphic, but
that's their expression.
But they get it out.
And that's
they get it out. If you never let them get it out. So when they finish, you know, sometimes I have musicians with me, or it's just me. I'll analyze what they did. I'll talk about the rhythm. I'll talk about if there was harmonic elements to their expression. I'll talk about inflection or improvisation or melodic, anything that will get them thinking about their craft. You know, the content I can't control, so I'm not even going to try to control that. I will always try to fill their mental cups with positive stories. But they'll have to come to that conclusion. I'm not going to censor them,
because
mm-hmm. everyone's been censoring them their entire lives. So once they get it out, then I think they can start thinking about how they can build as opposed to destroy.
That was bassist and composer Marcus Shelby speaking with KLW's Jen Cheehan. You can catch Shelby's new work, Beyond the Blues, a prison oratorio, on Sunday afternoon at the Yerba Buena Garden Festival in San Francisco, and it's free. More information is at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KALW's Julie Kane.
All week long, we've been playing you this sound that's been going strong since 1960.
This time it's love.
What that was and where we recorded it? Here's KALW's Colin Peden to tell you more.
Tonight is like a lovely tune. Beware my foolish heart.
Tucked in the back of a darkened bar, a young man sings to a ring of people surrounding an old piano. On top is a tip jar, partially filled with crumpled bills. The singer sits with a drink in front of him, casually holding a mic.
My name is Ben Benjamin. I've been coming here probably about 9 months. I heard about it from a friend, and I felt like it was something I wanted to experience to get the full gist of Oakland and all that it has to offer. And I walked in, and there were people doing these songs that I had been listening to for half my life and keeping them alive. by singing them. I was delighted.
This time it's love.
Welcome to the Alley.
My
a piano bar and steakhouse in Oakland, where people come together every week to sing, or maybe, like Thursday night regular Kent Kessinger, just to sit back and take it all in.
Do you like to sing?
Occasionally. I like watching the old guy tinkle on the keys, you know?
Mm-hmm. How about a round of applause for Rod Dibble?
Well, I'm Rod Dibble, and I'm here at the Alley on Grand Avenue. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
Rod Dibble's the piano player. He's been playing here almost every week for the past 55 years. All that time at the keys means that Dibble has memorized a huge repertoire of songs.
I've got about 4,000. I try to learn a song a week or two songs a week.
Yeah.
That's so he can stay a few steps ahead of the requests from the singers, who gather around his piano each week, waiting to take their turn at the mic. When a singer does particularly well, Dibble rings his cowbell in appreciation. Dibble's relationship with the singers is what keeps a lot of people coming back, week after week. Like Ray Ingesert, who started singing here on a whim.
Yeah, I was sitting at one of these tables back here with a friend of mine, and I was just like, Jesus, you know, these people are murdering these songs. And my friend's like, well, go up and sing something. I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah, that was 30-some-odd years ago now. Almost 30 years ago. So, yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while, but by the time Ingesert found the Alley, Rod Dibble had already been playing here for nearly a quarter of a century.
This could only happen to a guy like me.
Yes.
And only happen in a bar like this.
Dibble tells me that when he started in 1960, Oakland had a much different bar scene.
There used to be five piano bars on this street alone. And then now it's karaoke and
yeah.
We're the only piano bar now in Oakland.
And that's something that the regulars are proud of, to the point of modifying show tune lyrics to be about the Alley itself.
One each time I'm down, the Alley is. It's making me clown.
The Alley is.
Why I just sing like a star.
There you go.
It's my kind of bar.
So head over to the Alley on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights and try it for yourself. For Cross Currents, I'm Colin Peden.
The Alley is my kind of razzmatazz, and it has Rod Dibble's jazz.
Lots of you called to tell us about your experiences singing along with Rod Dibble. Our winner this week is Steve Grossman. Steve said he learned how to sing at the Alley. His first song was All the Way.
When somebody loves you.
He told me he was really nervous at first, but the folks at the Alley made him feel like a star. Congratulations, Steve. We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. For the rest of you, you'll have another chance to win next week. Here's your sneak listen.
This marks the second day of our celebration honoring the Blessed Mother, who is the patroness of the fishmen.
Think you know what that was and where we recorded it? Give us a call at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. We'll tell you the story behind the sound next Thursday on Cross Currents, so tune in. Thanks for listening and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane. Oh, and before we leave you, here's a song that everybody knows how to sing. We bring it to you thanks in part to local musician Rupa Maria, who was at the heart of a lawsuit that just made it legal for all of us to sing it without paying a copyright fee.
Thanks, Julie. We heard from many of you with guesses on this week's Audiograph. We'd also like to hear what stories you think we should report on from around the Bay Area. So email us at news@kalw.org or leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Olivia Henry, Angela Johnston, Holly J. McDeed, Casey Miner, Raja Shah, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Ben Trefney. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Music is by San Francisco jazz bassist Fred Randolph. He plays clubs and festivals and is a music teacher. You can hear the Fred Randolph Quintet on Sunday night at Angelica's in Redwood City. Music starts at 7:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.